Hello, grandkids, and welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This one happens to be numbered 300. Yeah, we are numbering this one. I guess I didn't. I could just call it a special, which it does always make me wonder how many shows I've actually recorded over the years. Especially when Jeremy and I have racked up a couple of different WrestleMania years of doing individual match previews, because that card is usually at least like 10 matches, right? Or like, well, no, it's usually 8 to 10, I would say.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's 8 to 10 shows that really we could tack on to our number that we have not at some juncture. And then you throw in the other stuff. There could be a lot of there could be a lot of them. So you know what? Whatever. This one gets numbered. I don't care to make them a special edition anymore.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to record with someone because, well, it only made sense. I went to Johnny Gargano's farewell show at his home base for independent wrestling. Which is kind of funny because he was involved with them a couple of years prior to when I started watching him wrestle in Pro Wrestling Ohio at the time. That was one thing that I was like, A, I couldn't believe that we started Stunt Granny 8 years ago, speaking of numbers. So I was just like, ah, geez, it's almost been a decade already. And then for a year when we were at the Torch was when I started covering that Pro Wrestling Ohio because Wade wanted us to do extra columns for him since he did help fund a couple of WrestleMania trips. you know, we had to put in a little more effort, and I saw this on, it was, at the time, it was Sports Time Ohio, and I think that actually still is a station, but it's owned by a different company, and I don't need to get into that, but, watching Gargano, that long ago, it's just like, holy shit, like, there's no one, like, I know how people always, like a Daniel Bryan, or even a CM Punk, they kind of talk about having them watched them in the indies, like, for a long time. I didn't do that with any of those guys. Like, did I see a Daniel Bryan match here and there? Yeah. Did I think he was good from what I saw? Yeah, but, like, I wasn't, like, invested in him, I guess. So, this was kind of an interesting, interesting event from that perspective, like, it's pretty crazy that that guy got signed by the WWE. Even though I think, and we've talked about it, they've expanded how many hours of TV they're recording. They need more people.
Right. Yeah.
And he definitely fits the bill for them at this juncture.
Yeah. My understanding is, Gargano's been ready for a while. He actually chose to stay independent for quite a while. I think they offered him a deal in the earliest stages of NXT, and he actually turned it down, which a lot of people, you know, criticized at the time. But I think in the end, everything has worked out. He's gained worlds more experience. He was picked up by Gabe Sapolsky and evolve and really was able to become the centerpiece of that promotion as well. Just the same as he had for AIW.
Yeah, and I think that's always one of those things that it kind of translates. Like, I always like, it's always one of the themes, and that's been that way with a lot of new people coming into the WWE recently about having to prove themselves in the WWE. But it just seems like if you can kind of even capture a crowd on that kind of level, you can transfer it to the next stage a lot of times. Because, I mean, I think that that's one of those things that well, and we even talked about it, I think, this week with Baron Corbin. Like, he never really had anything behind him in NXT to start with. So, like, he didn't have any traction. Like, it kind of helps when you kind of have a smoother path in, I guess.
Right, yeah. And Gargano has, carried, essentially, you know, had been given the role of carrying two promotions. I'm sure there are other promotions in Ohio and the Midwest that used him frequently as well. He has definitely, so again, on the indie level, he has made it as high as you can go.
Right. So I guess there was that aspect of things, and then I really wasn't, although I'm familiar with Absolute Intense Wrestling, I'm not that familiar with it. They don't have a TV deal. It's limited information that gets out on YouTube. And I guess I'm still weird. I think I mentioned it before where I don't watch a lot of stuff on YouTube anyway. I take things in traditionally, I suppose. So there was definitely an interest level in being to one of their shows to see what everything was all about. Because they are certainly one of the pioneers, I feel like, of the man-on-woman matches.
Yes, the oft-controversial concept of doing man versus woman matches where the men and the women are just considered to be on equal playing field as athletes.
I did see that in play even early in the card. There was a six-person match. It was five men and one woman. that match left a little something to be desired.
Right.
But,
I know you brought your wife with you. What was her take on watching men just hitting women and it just being seen like a normal thing, a normal day at the office?
She was not bothered by that nearly as much as the, circumstances, surrounding the event. This takes place, their semi-permanent home now, at least from the way they've talked on the podcast, is a Catholic church gymnasium. And there is a picture of the Pope up on the wall. And this is another thing, too, that it's hilarious that during their podcast, someone has mentioned to them that they swear too much on their podcast. So this all comes together in and of the fact that you are at a Catholic gymnasium, and there is a lot, and I mean a lot of swearing involved in this promotion. So whoever made this criticism to them, I'm kind of, they don't pay attention to the product, in my opinion. I do not know who these persons are, but I'm just gonna say that there was a lot of swearing involved. So she was far more offended by that than by the man on woman violence. So it was kind of it was kind of an interesting environment just in general because of that. Like, you could tell. Because they have a lot of hardcore fans. Because you could tell that a lot of people had been there far more frequently than myself. But, you know, it's just too hard to make that trip all the time. for these right. kinds of events, especially when they're involved at taking off work. It makes things a little tricky. they are very vocal. There was definitely a time where I probably, even myself, would not have minded all that swearing, but it's a little past me at this juncture.
I have a local indie that's kind of very much like that, yeah. I think a lot of the indies are still in that, they have, even if they're not a hardcore, all hardcore promotion, they definitely have an ECW, still an ECW mindset. That's still that, especially when WWE is so PG, I think that they want to capture at least that spirit to a degree.
So they are definitely getting it in that manner. If that's what they're going for, they're definitely getting it. But to go back to it, it was, I guess I like any crowd that's more into it than out of it.
Right. Yeah.
There was a lot, they did a lot of stuff that was, very funny, or at least, definitely more entertainment based. Because the opening match was all entertainment. And really, of all amusing things, Tracy Smothers did a good job of working a match with Swoggle.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
You know, as much as a match can be made of something like that, there is a lot of talking involved, a lot of stalling involved. I think there's a rapport, even because kind of talking about the crowd, it's just like he always tells them that if he tells them to shut up one more time, he just might, but then he keeps on talking anyway, and people keep on telling him to shut up, but he keeps on talking. So, I mean, it's almost like a what gimmick in that fashion. that definitely, like I said, that seemed to be a rapport with the crowd just in general. I did get a kick out of the shirt, and I guess I'm not sure if he had it in the WWE or not, but Swoggle had a shirt on that said King of Small Style.
No, that's something very new. That's a take up on Nakamura, yeah.
that was pretty amusing out of him. And he does have something of a presence about him. He's very entertaining, and he reacted well to all of the insults. Like, he didn't really have to do much of the talking. You know, he was just kind of like an animated character there. And, you know, I guess he works well on that. it was a comedy match.
I've seen Tracy Smothers in person at an indie show. He does nothing physically. It's all on the mic. It's all, you know, old school psychology type stuff. And, you know, pratfalls. And easy, cheap heat. He came out wearing his, you know, Confederate flag, trunks and jacket, and his opponent was, a black gentleman. Easy heat,
Right.
That's all I'll say. Maybe Shahid would have ran into the ring. I don't know, but it works. I mean, I was with friends who didn't know Tracy Smothers from a hole in the wall, but, you know, once again, his old school heel shtick, his old school Southern heel shtick, you know, got people into the match, even though they did nothing.
Yeah, so that really does sum up what happened with that one. And again, I was completely fine with that.
I'm sure it was fun.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a lot of goofy, fun stuff. And kind of going back to the crowd a little bit. There are a couple of guys that, you know, I could see replacing Gargano, or at least holding up their end of the bargain, that are in the promotion. And really, when it came down to it, Gargano did their intense champion a solid, and took a pinfall for him. Because the main event was Candice LeRae against Johnny Gargano was what it was billed as. And it was a best 2 out of 3 falls match. And so Gargano gets a cheap early pin, and they obviously play up. They did a lot of comedy really leading into this. But they ended up getting her to get kind of something of a cheap pin on him then later to even it out. And then Gregory Iron comes out and says that he should have been the final opponent because they did have quite a history together fighting against each other. And then he brings out the intense champion, and I need to pull up his name here. Alex Daniels. Because they actually have 2 championships. They have the intense championship and the absolute championship. And I'm not sure how long both of those have been around, but the intense championship seemed to be more of your intercontinental title type of belt, because that match was on first, and then the absolute championship match was after that. But this guy was Alex Daniels is a heel. He worked the match as a heel. He won he had like 3 visual pinfalls against him, and then won with like a handful of tights or something of that nature. You know, it was by hook and crook. You know, Gargano, of course, the baby face, giving a little bit of love to Alex Daniels, who, again, himself was very good at this wrestling thing. So there are some other people that, you know, there's a possibility of them getting out of there and into the WWE, I think. That Alex Daniels, if he's going to give him the flag, I would think that he thinks that there's that possibility, too.
That sounds all right. Sounds like it was laid out very well. Made someone going forward for them. That's the way these things should be, yeah.
So I mean, oh my gosh, I would be completely remiss if I did not note there was a guy that anytime anybody went to the top rope, he would scream, "High risk, high reward."
Oh.
And this happened in at least once in every match. And the first time I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, he's making fun of the guy. And then it went from funny, not funny, funny again, to continuing to be funny because the guy kept on saying, it's just like, oh my God, like my wife and I just sat there and looked at each other and just started laughing and shaking our heads. I'm like, I'm just not going to forget this at all.
That's good.
And I guess I did. I guess I did also not.
What? Oh, sorry. At least you weren't stuck behind jackasses who were doing their own running commentary for the whole evening. That's happened. That's happened to me before.
Oh no! People definitely had their opinions. Again, there was a. There was a lot of referee verbal abuse going on, no matter who the referee was, for the most part. One guy seems to get it a little worse than others, but the referees are routinely shat upon. What was I... oh, shit, what was the other thought? Man, why did I lose that?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. I guess the other thing that I could mention was that, and hopefully it'll come back to me eventually, is that, there's the guy, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, is another one of the, characters that, seems to be on the on the right path to possibly moving forward. So that, you know, I guess it was a little bit of a grab bag, of course, you know, being an independent of some funny stuff, some not so good stuff, some people that are just learning. And I guess that is kind of the other thing that was kind of, I feel like they brought the point up in one of the shows. That some people don't want to see the bad stage of people's careers, of where they're still learning, and that was one thing that you know, I think you get that when you go to that type of a show, but it definitely seemed like, oh, we went to one here recently. Those guys up there definitely seemed more organized as far as what direction they wanted to go with the promotion. So it'll be interesting if something like that eventually pops up around here, or at least more consistently like these guys. Because, I mean, they're doing another show in October and another in November. And that's the other thing. Like, I can't be driving up and down there once a month. You know, it's close, but it's not that close. But, right. You know, I guess it'll be, I'll definitely, pay more attention, to it. Oh, and you know what? The other thought finally hit me. I did not realize, I did know that, Gargano does not drink. So, I guess, I did not realize this until I saw Twitter shortly before recording, is that he likes to drink the ectoplasm coolers.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of wondering this, the gentleman, high risk, high reward gentleman, he, by himself, had 11 of these fruit coolers just piled in front of him. And I was, wow, I was kind of horrified. That is not the way that I want to ingest sugar. It's kind of gross. So, but, yeah, I guess, what's his name, Gargano, that's kind of like his thing. He, celebrates with that, and, I did not see that part, because my wife, again, she was ready to get out of there. Oh, you know what, that was something that I didn't bring up, the length of time, holy Moses, there was, I expected to be out of there at 11, I suppose, with the 7:30 start time. And we got done at midnight.
Oh, wow. Oh, 5 hours. Oh, those overly long indie shows. Yeah. Maybe not quite that long, but yeah.
It was a little tough in that. I will admit that's something I'm glad I brought that up. That was a little much because they had a line for people to get stuff signed and take your picture with Gargano and Candace if you wanted to. I did not get into said line. driving up there was enough of an expense, in my opinion. Well, that I needed to save money for my version of the ectoplasm cooler, which is beer from Platform Beer Company, which is not all that far away from where they record their programs, actually, which was always convenient to stop in. And right now I'm drinking their Paranormal Hoptivity, which is quite tasty. But the length of time, like, they had a signing for him before we got there, and they wrapped it up shortly after. Like, it, I would say the event started at 7:45 itself, because he was still doing some pictures at 7:30. And then when they had intermission, they had him out there to do signings and pictures again. And that took up a decent portion of time also. So it made for something of a long evening, and you pile on driving, on top of that, and, margaritas before the event. it makes things, kind of tough to get through. So,
I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like, was it worth it all?
Yeah. Like, I wanted to get up there once this year, like, because I remember someone mentioning a New Year's resolution, and we don't really have, again, like, there's some kind of independence around Columbus itself, but there really aren't that many for as large as Columbus is. And I guess that's one thing that I always find interesting about Cleveland having all of these different promotions, because there was another promotion that was sponsoring itself during this show, and oh my god, that was one of the worst things that happened during intermission. This guy was trying to rap, and it was not good.
Oh boy.
But yeah, that was another promotion, and I know there are a couple other promotions still in Cleveland. It's just, cause, like, when Jeremy and I were in school, the crowds for wrestling kind of stunk around Cleveland. Like, I don't know when everything changed, cause they always talk about, I know that, the AIW guys, I did say Absolute Intense Wrestling at some point, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm realizing that we're kind of towards wrap-up stage, and that I'm just actually mentioning the full promotion, possibly. But on their podcast, they talk about JT Lightning. And, you know, not that I had my heartbeat on everything happening in Cleveland at that point, since I lived 45 minutes away. But we went to wrestling events up there enough that I would have thought I would have heard something. So it's kind of interesting that it seems to have popped up maybe when I was in school or just kind of after I left. they've definitely kind of, well, even for the WWE shows, I feel like at least recently their crowds have been better, because they were terrible when we were up there. but yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I mentioned wanting to support independent wrestling at some junctures too. And it's hard to do when there isn't much, like, when you have to drive 2 hours to something, really. And there's a smaller one that's down about an hour away, but I know that it's not this kind of, I'm going to say the word, but, do keep in mind that there's a difference. There's a difference in quality. you know,
right. Yeah, of course.
It kind of is what it is, and I mean, I guess I always felt that way when I was doing the Pro Wrestling Ohio review. Like, you're kind of watching things at a different stage of polish than you are in the WWE. So, like, to criticize it the same as the WWE to me is kind of absurd. You point out the faults, but you know, there's no reason to kind of really go at things. So yeah, I mean, it was worth the it was worth the trip. Again, I just can't do that all the time.
Right.
There's other stuff to do, but I mean, I thought that they do a pretty quality job for what they're doing. You know, it's like, yeah, we're not making ESPN podcasts or anything like this. We're just doing this kind of thing.
No, we're not. Not after last Tuesday. We're definitely not.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that about wraps things up, honestly, because I pimped the beer, the show, mostly talked about the... talked about Gargano and skipped the sticky situation from online.
We'll just skip that.
So, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to do a short one, and, you know, I think this is a good place to head on out to the pastures. So, grandkids, this has been the review of the whole shebang, tribute to Johnny Gargano, but it's also 372. Boom.
Night.